What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we are talking about tips for being a godly man, married or single. As you may recall, I did a series about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer, on characteristics of a man, what makes a man and not a woman, and asking some of those fundamental questions. A listener wrote in and said, "Hey, Dr. G, can you share just some basic tips for being a godly man?" And I don't want to assume it's that easy. It's like, oh yeah, here's the three things to transform your life. And if you just buy my book for $8.99, you'll be a godly man. You know, I never want it to come across that way. But I also want to give you practical actions too. Character traits, as we discussed, they're extremely important because that's who you are that will overflow into what you do. Another listener wrote in and said, "Hey, when is a man not providing for his house?" And I thought, well, maybe this is a good place to start. A godly man provides for himself. He eats his own bread, to use the term in 2 Thessalonians 3. If you have a Bible, and I hope that you do, open up with me to 1 Timothy 5. And I think 1 Timothy 6 is going to have guardrails for you when it comes to being a man who is a provider. When we say that in America, in a North American context, or at least in the West, to say that a man is a provider, that often can bring with it different connotations. Does this mean that I need to earn enough money so that my wife drives a Lamborghini? Bow, bow. Oh, yes, it does. That way I can borrow it. Oh, just kidding. All right, no. I mean, we have different standards of living. Some of us expect vacations, and some of us are grateful for them. Some of us expect new cars, and others of us dream of that or would never buy a new car. We see that as wasteful. You also have different costs of living. And to live in Los Angeles is not the same thing as to live in Springfield, Missouri. So when I think of those equations, that does go into what it means as a man to be a provider. I also look at seasons of life. And seasons of life, typically as a younger man, you're hustling. And in your 20s, for most of us, it's a time of getting our feet underneath us. We're earning credentials, finishing degrees, starting careers. So we're just not bankrolling. And if we are, we just started bankrolling last year. So this is a season of life issue. So there's a lot of things that go into, is a man being a provider? But the biblical basis for what makes a godly man provide is based off of scriptures like these. This is 1 Timothy. Look with me in chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "Honor widows who are truly widows indeed. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in petitions and prayers night and day. But she who lives in self-indulgence is dead even while she lives. And command these things as well so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." A couple of things to note here. In the enrolling of widows to the church, Paul says, look, there are some parameters for widows. The first is that if a widow has children or grandchildren, that they need to practice piety. They need to take care of their own family. And your grandmother or your mother or your aunt or your aging sister, she may not be a great person, verse 6, but you as a family still have obligations to care for her. In verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own or his household, he has denied the faith. And I brought this up with our character traits, that these are masculine pronouns. They are intended to communicate that there is a special responsibility of a man here. The idea is that he is to think about beforehand in a concerned or solicitous matter. That's the way BDAG would define this. The man is the one who's ensuring provisions are taking place in the home. And 2 Thessalonians, I'll show you something interesting as I was getting ready for today's episode. I just wondered what did Paul say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6? He says, "Now we command you, brothers," plural, "in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother," singular, "who walks in an unruly manner and not according to the tradition which they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we did not act in an unruly manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you." Then in verse 12, "Such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ that working with quietness, they eat their own bread." Paul says, you know what it was like when I was with you? I worked and provided for myself. I didn't eat your bread. Maybe he had a bite of a bread or a sandwich, but he provided for himself. We know Paul had tent-making skills, these bivocational skills. But what verse 6 says is interesting. He warns all of them, brothers, plural, to be careful of a brother, singular, which is typically male, masculine use here. The brother, singular, avoid that brother if they are being idle. And idleness is a broader issue. It's the broader issue of not keeping the tradition here, of not imitating Paul's faith. You're relying on the good graces of the church. So this is the issue of idleness, but avoid that brother, particularly a problem for guys. If this guy is lazy, the consequence of his laziness and idleness will be that he doesn't eat. In fact, Way of Manhood, if you haven't listened to it yet, Adam Tyson, he does a series on the sluggard and what it means for a man to be lazy and fighting against laziness. So you have this responsibility to provide, and here a brother is to be avoided. But you know what's interesting to me is that there are wealthy women in the New Testament who use their funds to provide for Jesus and the disciples. Seriously, if you haven't read Luke 8, 1 through 3 before, let me read it for you and then look at the different names of women that are mentioned here as being supporters of Jesus's ministry. So this is Luke chapter 8, verse 1. "And it happened that soon afterward he was going around from one city and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's manager, and Susanna, and many others who were ministering to them from their possessions." These ladies were supporting the disciples and supporting Jesus. You might remember the story of Lydia. She was a seller of purple in Philippi. A businesswoman, an affluent businesswoman selling a high-end product. Think of it like the Gucci bag and the Chanel. She was an owner of a Chanel store on Sunset Boulevard. Seriously, like this is the connotation. She was a leader in the church there. More of a functional leader. There's nothing to suggest in Philippians that she was on a leadership team, but she was the functional leader before the church had started. She really had a significant influence. So you see here that of course, we welcome women working, and we as men who aspire to be godly, we encourage women to work hard, pursue noble careers, generate healthy and substantive income. Like, we are all about that. Go for it. Some of you are very good at this. You as a lady are listening to this, and you get paid well. You're in an industry that just pays you really well. You have stock options, retirement plans, health insurance. And all of these things, it's just like, man, the Lord really blessed you, your skill set, your interests. And that is a field that compensates well. So as a godly man, we're not saying, hey, stay home. I'm going to earn everything and you don't do nothing. That's not what a godly man says, but who has the burden of provision? Man does. And as a single man, think of it this way. As a single man, it's the easiest time to provide for yourself. It's the easiest time to eat your own bread. Your loaf is smaller. If you can't afford to pay for your own loaf as a single man, then what's going to happen when that doubles and then triples and then quadruples? As a single man, you have this understanding that God has called me to provide for myself. And so I'm not dependent on others to provide for you. if I'm 19, 20, like I'm starting to get an itch, and that itch is that I want to move out and I want to start my own life. And even if I'm rooming with 10 other guys, I want to have my own life. And if that age continues to increase and I'm comfortable living at home or living off the graces of other people, 2 Thessalonians 3:12, eat your own bread. Like you need to own this and start to work hard. So the question is, what must he provide? That is the question. What is he responsible to provide? Well, back to 1 Timothy 6, the guardrails so that we as men are not workaholics, or that we learn how to be content with the essentials of what God has given us. 1 Timothy 6 is warning against those who are in love with their money. I'm in love. Verse 8, and if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. What do you work hard to get? You work hard to get the essentials, what it takes to live, food, shelter, clothing. Us as single men or us as married men, we're endeavoring to provide those things for ourselves first, and then in God's kindness, then for a wife that God may give to us. So let's do this. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, I'll say, when are we not doing this? We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Greg Gifford and Transformed in just a moment. Very powerful insights he shared so far on biblical manhood. That's why I want to recommend to you another resource that speaks to men in our culture today. That's Dr. Adam Tyson and The Way of Manhood. If you haven't checked it out right now, Dr. Tyson speaks to the Gen Z generation each and every week. He's helping a whole generation of young men understand their God-given wiring and how to use it for his glory. He tackles real challenges that you're facing. You got to check out The Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson. It's available in the Fortis Plus app or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Remember, being the man that God designed you to be is a lifelong process, but you don't have to walk that road alone. You can find resources available to you in the Fortis Plus app, like I just mentioned. It's your all-access path to a wealth of content, hundreds of hours of video and audio content available right now. New videos and podcasts are available every day. You're never going to run out of wisdom and encouragement to keep you moving forward. Best of all, it's completely free. Download it today from your app store or go to fortisplus.org. The mission of Fortis Institutes, it's to proclaim the gospel. It's to equip the saints. And that's not just a catchphrase. It's our driving passion. But we can't do this without partners just like you who believe in the vision, who step up to support the work. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just writing us a check. What you're doing is you're enlisting in a movement of Christians who refuse to continue to sit on the sidelines. Christians who are committed to living and spreading the truth no matter the cost. Christians who will shape the future of the church and the world. So here's my bold challenge to you. If this ministry has impacted your walk with Christ, would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And I know money is tight. We're all living in this same inflation-impacted world. So if you're facing some type of financial hardship, you're strapped by some type of unmanaged debt, and you haven't been able to give to your local church faithfully, don't consider giving to this ministry. Get those things in order first. Be obedient with what God has entrusted to you, which means that you need to be giving faithfully to your local church first. Once you get those areas of your life taken care of, then start praying about what it would look like to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can get all of the answers to all of the questions you have right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We've been talking about tips for being a godly man, whether married or single. And today's emphasis does come from a reader question about when are we not being godly men who are providing? The first segment, I did say that we have an onus to eat our own bread, starting as single men, that we're providing for ourselves, that we have a good work ethic, that we're hardworking, to use the characteristics of a godly man, that this is something that drives us. This doesn't mean we refuse the help of women. God bless our wives that choose to work. God bless those that support ministries like a Lydia and like a Mary, you know, in Jesus's time, Luke 8. We're very thankful for that. But we as men, we own that and we own our responsibility to provide the essentials. Our home will be cared for because we will work hard to do so. So when are we not doing this? When does slack attack begin to set in? Let's say it another way. When am I violating the commands of Scripture to provide for my own house? And if I don't do this, I am potentially worse than an unbeliever. The obvious things are when you're just not working at all and there's no provisions. And in America, typically we have 5 days a week where you work and then you get a weekend. In other countries, that's not true. That hasn't always been true. But in America, that's generally true. So what consumes your Monday through Friday? Well, what consumes that is labor and God-honoring labor. So if you're not laboring Monday through Friday, if you're not laboring in a full-time capacity, then most likely you're being a bum. And I say most likely because maybe you're injured and this is a couple of months off that you're on some type of R&R. Maybe you're temporarily laid off, but most of your life, you're orienting around your work. And of course you should get a break. Of course you should get vacations. Like those are totally fine. But as a type and a pattern, what are you normally doing? You're normally working. That is a good gift. That happened before the fall. We worked before the fall. It's toil in our labor, men, that was tainted after the fall. I think in the millennial kingdom, you're going to work. You're judging alongside of Christ, the new heaven and new earth. I think you're also going to work there. So what does that mean? That work isn't going away. Work's not the problem. In fact, you and I as men, we often find dignity in our work and purpose and a sense of accomplishment. So if you as a man regularly get laid off, you lack the ability to become valuable to your employer. That was, you know, that was something interesting that was told to me by a wife. Her husband had been laid off again. In counseling, she said, "My husband lacks the ability to become valuable to a company. So as soon as things get tight, he's usually the first one to go." So if you've been laid off, I do think it's time to look at your hand and say, "Is it me, O Lord? It's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer." Maybe it is you. If your industry is typically a stable industry, and some industries it's just normal for there to be turnover. Construction, for instance, there's no job, so you bounce again. But if your industry is a stable industry and you continue to get laid off, then it is you. It is you. You have a work ethic problem. You have professional skills that are missing. So when your work is too irregular or it's non-existent, you are not providing for your family well. When you are pursuing if-come instead of income, this is the YouTube streamer that's going to make it big. "I'm almost there, honey. You watch the kid while I stream these video games. Pew, 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 pew." This is the brand new stock market investor. The, you know, 28-year-old guy that just has all of these insider trading comments to make, you know, like he's got tips on the stock market. And sure, he has no experience in this, but man, he's going to make it big. I think you just have to say, look, this guy needs to sober up, be sober-minded, meaning serious-minded, make sound judgment, and recognize that he's pursuing potentials, but they're not realities. It's if-come, not income. Any get-rich-quick business scheme, I'm skeptical of. And it's the next thing that's going to pop and hurt a lot of people. So I'm not talking about capital venture guys. I'm talking about those that are honestly just making foolish decisions and they're endangering their family with that. So they're not pursuing actual jobs that pay you. So when his income does not meet the basic needs of your home, it's too irregular, it's too little, then a principle is that you're getting close to this. You're getting close to not providing for your family well. You're relying on gigs. You're intermittent. You're unwilling to learn different professional skills. So if the cost of living is high in your area, then you as a man, you do aim to earn more because the basics of your home are going to cost more in your area. Like that's not rocket science. If I lived in the middle of Iowa right now, which is a very lovely place to be, I got to go there last year, my financial needs would be much less than they are living in Southern California. So the reality is that part of your cost of living dictates what you as a man are aiming to earn for your family. If you can cover the basics of your home with what you earn, I think that's great. That's a great baseline. I could pay rent or mortgage. I could pay the car costs. I could pay for groceries. Then anything else that my wife earns, it's just icing on the cake. It gives us breathing room. We can go on vacations and we can enjoy life. We can go out to eat and things like that. But what's your aim to provide for the basics of the home. So your wife's income, if she does work, just frees you up a little bit more. You don't aim to get rich, in all honesty. That's not an ambition. It's dangerous. 1 Timothy 6, if you desire to get rich, then it's like suicide. You paying your own soul. You are going to hurt yourself if you're not careful. So what do you want? You just want to provide for the essentials of your home. And then any extra that comes with that, you're open to that. But a man who's learned to work hard and eat his own bread, he doesn't get money hungry and greedy. And when he starts to earn that extra money, he invests it, he saves it, and he gives it, and he makes sound decisions. He doesn't get covetous and forget who is the one that gave him the ability to earn that money. So how should you do this as a man? If you're just thinking of like, hey, Dr. Gifford, give me a couple of things. Let me give you two, okay? First of all is hard work as a character trait. You're hardworking. And some of you right now, you're working a job that you do not enjoy and you don't want to be there forever. And I would say, amen. I never wanted to work at FedEx the rest of my life. It was a college job to get me through college. But your hard work at the FedExes of the world as a part-time employee, that reflects into something bigger. If you're not a hard worker in the small things, you're not going to be a hard worker in the big things. So your hard work is a character trait. No matter what you put your hand to, it translates into that next job and that next job and that next job. And then finally, you land in your career position and you just absolutely love it. And why do you love it? Because you've worked hard to get there. You've earned credentials. You've become valuable. So what that means is that you're now at a place of absolute joy. I mean, 99% of the time, you love what you're doing. And how did you get there? By being faithful in the small jobs. Men, if you're going to wait for that perfect job to line up before you accept it, it's never going to happen. I'll tell young guys, if you're going to go from never having worked to your dream career position, then you're never going to have your dream career position. You have to earn those and work for them. So that's the first step, seeing that hard work is the ingredient, Colossians 3, 22 to 23, that God uses your hard work to accomplish things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, not me, but God's grace working through me. So you still work hard and you work harder than any of them. The next aspect of hard work is excellence in your work, excellence in your craft. Proverbs 22, verse 29, if you see a man that is skilled in his craft, he will stand before kings. What craft is that? I don't know. Which one are you doing? Plumbing? Electrical work? Graphic design? Writing? Podcasting? Like, what are you doing? Be excellent in your craft. Develop professional skills in your craft to be the best at what you do. Develop professional competencies. For instance, the primary thing that I do is teach. I'm an instructor primarily. Out of all of the different things that I do, I primarily am a teacher. And I intentionally try to learn my craft, think it through, get better at it, listen to what my students don't like, watch people's body language, see how many notes are too many and not enough, do the PowerPoints help, not help. Like, I'm trying to learn a craft and get good at it, for lack of better grammar. Your skills in your hard work will elevate you so that there's no limit. And when you're good at it and you're consistently the best in whatever discipline you are, there's no limit to what God will use you to do. So yes, you may hate admin duty and you're on it right now at work, but I'm going to be the best administrator. I don't enjoy graphic design, but I got to do it right now. I'm going to be the best graphic designer there is. I'm going to learn how to do that. You don't want to be in middle management right now. Some of you are in middle management and you're thinking, no way, man, Dr. Gifford, this is not for me. But I'm going to be the best middle manager there is. And until the Lord moves this, I'm going to excel at this. Men, when we are developing this character trait of hard work and excellence in our skill and our craft, there's no limit to opportunities. There's plenty of work out there. Have you ever heard that phrase? There's plenty of work out there. So if we're not doing this, we're chasing if come, our work is irregular, we're being lazy, then we do need to say, look, I have to wise up and step up. And even as a single man, I have to wise up and step up. God has called me as a man to be a financial provider for my home. You like the way I said that? A financial, dear, yes. All right, I've spammed you guys for today. I got to be done. Thank you for tuning in and asking this question. And I hope that this in some way gives you direction as men. My encouragement is just identify a pocket where you're like, you know, I do see this. I'm tinkering too much with the YouTube streaming stuff, and I really need to get back to the essentials of earning income for myself and my family. then tinker and remove that temptation and then seek to be a hard worker who is faithful. So let me pray for you, especially for you men, that you would do this well. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be men. Lord, we have no shame in that. We are grateful for that. Sometimes the burdens of it are heavy. Some of us are young men that are providing for our families. Some of us are old men and we're attempting to figure out how do we reinvest and do good and train the next generation. Lord, whatever that is, help us to be a group of godly men that are good and sound financial providers, that we love you most, that we give our money to you first, and that we use our efforts to generate income for the people around us that matter to us, Lord. So we love you and we pray to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.